Good morning. I don't know about you, but I'm more than happy to be here this morning. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to come together as fellow saints and worship our God together. And what better day than the first day of the week when Jesus rose from the grave and had victory over Satan and the things of this world. So I praise God that we have this privilege to worship one with another. To add to our scripture reading this morning, I'm going to read 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 1 through 9. To God's chosen people who are away from their homes and are scattered all around the countries of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. God planned long ago to choose you by making you His holy people, which is the Spirit's work. God wanted you to obey Him and to be made clean by the blood of the death of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be yours more and more. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In God's great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now we hope for the blessings God has for His children. These blessings, which cannot be destroyed or be spoiled or lose their beauty, are kept in heaven for you. God's power protects you through your faith unto salvation, is shown to you at the end of time. This makes you very happy, even though now for a short time different kinds of troubles may make you sad. These troubles come to prove that your faith is pure. This purity of faith is worth more than gold, which can be proved to be pure by fire, but will ruin. But the purity of your faith will bring you praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is shown to you. You have not seen Christ, but you still love Him. You cannot see Him now, but you believe in Him. So you are filled with joy that cannot be explained, a joy full of glory, and you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God? But it still means that we have obligations. Christians, it is a privilege to be a child of God. We are saved by grace. That means God has saved us despite ourselves. But that does not mean that He has not given us obligations as His people. In 1 Peter 2:2, Peter said, as newborn babies want milk, you should want the pure and simple teaching. By it, you can grow up and be saved. What does he want us to do? Peter wants us to grow up in Jesus Christ. Grow up so you can be saved. Now, it's nice to have babies, isn't it? Everyone likes babies. They're cute, they're cuddly. Of course, there's the diapers. There's the getting up all hours to feed them. So even though babies are cute and cuddly, do we want to have our child remain a baby forever? No, we don't. Sometimes growing up is difficult and hard. But better to grow up than to remain a baby. And I'm afraid to say that many Christians never grow up. But yet, that is our obligation. The great privilege of the child of God is our relationship with God and our relationship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And our great responsibility is to grow up in Christ Jesus. God wants us to mature. We want our children to mature. We don't enjoy always telling our children, do this, do this, do this. But why do we tell them to do this, do this, do this? so they will learn to be responsible, so that they will mature. You know, if you let your child always have its will, one day they're going to grow up and they're going to find out that policemen and our government won't let them always do what they want to do. The government has put restraints, and for a good reason. God has also put restraints upon us. He wants us to mature and to understand the restraints and why they are there. And so, we must grow up. Birth must be followed by growth. Babies are cute and cuddly, but no one wants a baby forever. Because it's a lot of work, isn't it? But what is it to grow up? I think that there are two main spheres in which Christians are meant to grow. First is in our understanding of God and His will, and secondly, in our holiness. When we begin the Christian life, we probably don't understand a whole lot. We understand some of the basics. We understand that God has sent Jesus to die for us. We understand that we are sinners, and without the blood of Christ, we are lost forever. We understand some things, but we do not understand everything. And there are still things that even Phil and Ruth can learn about Christian life, Christian growth. We are never too old to stop learning. And God enables us to learn, doesn't He? We are to grow first off in our intellect, to understand this Word. And this is not only something we can do once and never again. We can always learn new things about God's Word. But also, God wants us to grow in our relationships, doesn't He? Our relationship with God, first of all, and then our relationship with one another. God wants us to know Him as Father. Think about that. The God who created everything wants to be our Father. And He wants us to have this relationship. And so if we don't understand our relationship with our own earthly father, we're going to have problems understanding God as our heavenly Father. And so God sent Jesus to this earth that we might learn more about God by observing Him and observing how He lived as a Christian here upon earth, or as the Savior of us Christians, I meant. He wants us to grow in intellect, and He wants us to grow in our relationships. To neglect to grow in our understanding and in our relationship will only court disaster, as we will be easily tricked, easily fooled, and easily led away. But we must also increase in holiness of life. The New Testament writers speak of the development of our faith in God, of our love for our fellow man, and in our likeness to Jesus Christ. Every son of God longs to become more and more conformed to the character of Jesus Christ. And so we need to study Jesus to know how to be like Him, don't we? And I know some of you ladies might say, well, I'm not a son of God, I'm a daughter. Well, when the Bible speaks of being a son of God, which in the Old Testament, which person received the double blessing of the Father? It was the Son. So ladies, in Jesus Christ, you are a son. You are the heir of salvation along with all the men. And so you are called son in this figurative way, even though you are ladies, because you are heirs of salvation, right along with all of us men. So in that way, you are sons of God. And every son longs to be like the Father. And so we live and copy the life of Jesus Christ. A Christian's life must be one of righteousness. Now when you hear that word righteousness, I don't know what comes into your head, but what righteousness means is to live right. righteousness means you live right. You live according to the will of God. That is being righteous. Living and doing right. We must seek to obey God's commandments, and we must seek to find His will, that we might live according to that will. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us for this very purpose. As we submit to His authority and to His following, He helps us to overcome our evil desires and causes the fruit of the Spirit to grow within us. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the Spirit produces these fruits in Christians. The fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that we should be growing in as Christians with the help of His Spirit. And I like to look at three main areas of spiritual development that God expects us to grow in. They are our responsibilities as Christians. Our first responsibility is our duty to God. Our relationship with God cannot remain inactive. Just think about it. Man and the woman, they fall in love and they get married. Okay? The man wants to do nothing, the woman wants to do nothing. They just sit in the house all day. Is that marriage going to last very long? The man says, I'm hungry. The woman says, me too. Men learn something from this. It doesn't work. A relationship cannot remain inactive. God wants our relationship with Him to be an active one. He wants us to grow up and not only to remain in fellowship with Him, but He wants us to grow closer to Him. I think it's every father's dream that his son will also be his friend. Kind of hard to be father and friend, but many fathers want that their son enjoy their presence, enjoy time, spending time with them. And God wants the same. He wants His children to know Him in a personal way as Father. The best way to have a better and closer relationship with God, well, I can round it up into two things. In reading and studying your Bible, and in prayer. This is indispensable for any Christian who wishes to grow, prayer and Bible study. And it is wise to study that Bible systematically. That means with a system. And there must be a balance between Bible study and prayer. If you just study your Bible and never pray, it's half a relationship. Or if you pray and never study your Bible, it's also only half a relationship. Because what is prayer? Prayer is us talking to, and what is Bible study? God talking to us. If you want a relationship, just listening is not enough, is it? Sometimes you got to speak back. And that's what God expects of us Christians, to read His Bibles and to pray. And isn't it amazing? We always, in our busy world, we like to say, well, I just don't have enough time. I come home from work, I'm tired, I want to prop my feet up. My wife comes home from work, well, she needs to fix supper. And isn't it amazing that even though we're tired, we always manage to find time to do things we like? And yet, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, husbands, if you come home and refuse to talk to your wife or to listen to your wife, don't think you're going to have her very long. And likewise, wives to husbands, a relationship must go both ways. And God wants a relationship with us. You ever thought about that? God, the Almighty God, wants a relationship with you. He wants to be your Father. He wants to show His care. He wants to talk to you. Have you ever spent time talking to God? You know, well, God knows everything. Yes, but don't you think He wants to talk to you and listen to you? As far as Bible study, I would recommend what I do. I always start my Bible study off with prayer. I ask God to open up my mind and heart to His Word. And then I look and I study Scripture looking for His will. I look for His promises. I look for His commands. And I think about them. How can I apply these blessings to my life? How can I apply these commands in my life? How can I apply these examples in my life? If I always just, oh, that sounds good, but never apply it to my life. What good was it? You know, I like to read about different types of food. Oh, that food sounds good, but if I don't ever make that food, I'm never going to know if it tasted good or not. We have to learn to study these things and apply them to our lives. Now, I have two Bibles at home that I use the most. I use the New International and I use this New Century Version because I better understand it. But find the Scripture that is most comfortable for you in your understanding. I know many of you have grown up with King James. Use it. Study it. And for many of you young ones, I recommend the New International, the New Century Version. But read it. Because God is talking to you in the words of the Bible. If you want to use commentaries, that's fine. But remember one thing. This was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. This is God speaking to you. Commentaries, who's speaking to you? Man. Telling you what he thinks about what God has said, that can be useful. But realize, that is man speaking. This is God speaking. Because the Bible is where God reveals himself. God tells you what he wants of your life. He explains to you why you should live the way you should live. He tells you what is wrong and what is right. And above all, look for Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. He is the big brother. He is the one that is showing us the way. He did it first. And He's showing us this is the way. That's why He's called the way, the truth, and the light. If you found sin in your life because of the Bible, confess it. If you have found through the reading of the Bible that you have been blessed, thank God. If you have found a command that you have never obeyed, obey it. That is how God speaks to us. And then end your Bible study in prayer. Ask God to help you to do the things that you just read about. Speak to Him about what you just read about and ask for clearer understanding. God is your Father. Be natural, be confiding, and be bold. Because you can boldly go before God because Jesus has opened the way. God is interested in you. He's interested in the details of your life. And I forgot one thing. Make a journal of your reading. Write down what you've discovered, what is new. And one day you can go back and reread it and think, wow, God has worked in my life. Make a prayer list. You know, I tend to forget very quickly when people ask me to pray for something. If I don't write it down, I forget. And so I do have a prayer list. People that I pray for. And that list, if they've been healed, I can thank God and I can strike that name from my list of prayers. It's good to have a list. But that is our duty to God. We also have a duty to the church. The people of God. The Christian life is not just a private affair. You are not a Christian alone, are you? You are one of many through the grace of God. You have been born into a family, the family of God. If God is our Father, then every Christian, whether it be a woman or a man, is our brother and sister in Christ. And we should not think of the church just as being universal. Every Christian throughout the whole world is our brother and sister. Thing is, we're not going to meet most of them until Judgment Day, are we? We are and have the responsibility to meet in groups. Because we have the responsibility to help each other, to serve each other, to care for each other. Even, the Bible says, to rip each other out of the fires to save one another. We have responsibility to each other. And so God calls us into local congregations to worship and to praise God, to share in fellowship, but even to help one another. Isn't that what a family's all about? What big brother wouldn't protect his little sister when it came right down to it? Isn't that right, Miguel? Wouldn't you help your sister if she truly needed helping? And I know he would. He may, no, not me. But I bet you he would. I bet you if Maria needed help, she would be there for her. And likewise, I think Maria would be there for her little brother and her little sister. It's what being family is. And what father would say, I'm not going to help you, you lazy, good-for-nothing boy or girl, son, daughter. We love, and we do things because of that love. And likewise, the church. We serve and help one another as we share in worship and in fellowship. Who adds Christians to the church? God does. And who God has added, who do we have the right to say, God, you made a mistake? God, this person is not the right type for this congregation? No, we don't have that right. They are born into the church when they obey the Lord, and God adds to the church. And that's why it is important for us to be here for one another. How are we going to know if our brother and sister needs help if we never see our brother and sister? How are we going to help if we don't come and be a part of one another on Sundays and Wednesday nights? We need each other. And there are youth times. There are Bible study times. There are even times when it is good to invite saints into your house like Charlie did yesterday. Charlie invited my family. We're very appreciative. So we have a duty to help one another to grow. We have a duty to help one another, to save each other, to rip each other out of the grip of Satan. Because we are a family who should care about each other. And it is a wonderful thing to help one another, isn't it? It gives you a good feeling to be helpful. But it's what a family does. It is also good to seek Christian friends and a Christian mate. Listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. You are not the same as those who do not believe. So do not join yourselves to them. Good and bad do not belong together. Light and darkness cannot share together. How can Christ and Belial, the devil, have any agreement? What can a believer have together with a non-believer? The temple of God cannot have any agreement with idols. And we are the temple of the living God. As God says, I will live with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. If you hang around ungodly people, believe me, one day you will turn ungodly yourselves. We need to strive to make friendships with Christians and to marry Christians. This does not mean that we cannot have non-Christian friends and mates. It means that should be our aim. Because Paul said, who knows if a Christian mate might not save that non-Christian mate. But there is a good chance that we will be led out of fellowship if we have a non-Christian mate. There is a good chance that we might not participate as we should if we had a non-Christian mate. We have been rescued from darkness. Why do we want to associate with it? But we have a second duty. You see, we live in the world. We cannot separate ourselves from the world, can we? Now, in the past, many Christian groups tried to separate themselves. They built communes and they had little to do with the outside world. Is that what Christianity is all about? No. Does God only want to save us and not anybody else? Does God want people to live in sin, but us, as the only ones to live correctly? No. God created all mankind, and God is concerned for all mankind, and it is our responsibilities as Christians to share the will of God and the grace of God with all of mankind. Every Christian should be deeply concerned about all his fellow man. A part of the Christian vocation is to serve the lost, that they might be able to find salvation. The Christian church has a noble history of reaching out to the needy, to neglected people, a service to the poor and the hungry and the sick, to those who have been discriminated against, especially the orphans and the widows. God has always cared about these people, and we should care as well. If you really got down and searched, most help organizations in this world started because people of faith, people of belief in God, started these organizations because of their duty to the world. Other organizations copied them later, but if you look at the history of most help organizations, they started because Christians, people of belief, cared. But there is another, and in my opinion, greater responsibilities which Christians have toward the world: evangelism. To evangelize means to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And there are still millions of people who never even heard of the name Jesus and of what he has done for them. Many seem to have fallen asleep to this responsibility. It is a point of note. In the book of Acts, and the Christians were mostly gathered in Jerusalem. What did God bring upon the church so that they would get busy doing the work of the Lord and evangelizing? He had to send a persecution. But when that persecution started, do you know what happened? It says the Christians went everywhere doing what? Spreading the news of Jesus and starting congregations of the Lord wherever they went. The church in Rome probably started this way. And Paul wanted to go and preach and teach there, but they started because a Christian had went to Rome and started the church, started teaching about Jesus. That is our responsibility as Christians. We need to do the work, or one day God may send to us a persecution that we get busy doing what we should be doing in the first place. While it is true that not every Christian is called to be an evangelist or a missionary, God has called all Christians to be a witness to what God has done for you. Listen to this. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." People say, "Amen, praise the Lord." But now listen to why God has done this to you. That you, who's that you? It's all these Christians that have been called to be a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. This is to them, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. What does God want us to do? Have you been blessed? Have you ever thought about telling your neighbor that God has blessed you, what He did for you? Have you cause to praise God? then let your neighbors and friends know, God has done this for me. Isn't He wonderful? You'd be surprised at who all will listen. And I can tell you from my own experience, people will one day come and say, explain this to me. Why has God done this for you? And that gives me a chance to talk to people. God has called us to witness to others about the things He has done for us in Jesus Christ. We must begin with prayer. I ask you this day to choose a person or a family that you love and are concerned about and who are not Christians. Pick that family and start praying for them. Pray that not only that they will find salvation, but that God might use you as the tool whereby they learn of Jesus. If you're praying for their souls, it's going to be hard not to do something, isn't it? Pray for them. This summer, in August, August 15th and 16th, we're going to do something special. And I want you to pray about this, and I want you to find families and people that you want to invite to this. But on August 15th, we're going to have a one-day vacation Bible school. Not only bring your own children, but bring their friends. Pray for their friends. Ask them if they might not be interested in a one-day vacation Bible school. It's August 15th, 2 weeks before school starts. On August 16th, we're going to have a friends and family day. You know what the purpose of this? That you can invite friends and family and bring them. And we're going to have a special service on the family of God. And we're going to have a lunch where we can invite them to. Well, most people will come to a free meal. But to get that free meal, they've got to listen also to a sermon, don't they? It's a wonderful opportunity to invite friends and family. Because, hey, there's free food! And in two different ways, isn't there? There's the spiritual food and the physical. Both are needed, aren't they? And so I'm asking you, pick a friend, pick a family member, pick neighbors who have not yet known Christ and invite them. But it must start with prayer. It must start with prayer. Tell them how God has blessed you and invite them to this church service or to the special weekend. But such are the great privileges and responsibilities of a child of God. We have been born into a family of God and we enjoy a relationship with God and His people. Yes, salvation is a gift of God. But that does not mean there are no responsibilities for the family members. We have chosen a life of discipleship. To be a disciple means you listen to their teaching and apply it to your life and follow after the teacher, which is Jesus Christ. This is the life that we have chosen for ourselves. We have been called out of the world to serve Christ. It is He who died and rose again that we might have a newness of life. He has given us His Spirit that we might learn to separate ourselves from the world. Now He calls us to follow Him. He calls us to give ourselves wholly and unreservedly into His service. He has called us into His family to be blessed. Do we not want to share the blessings? How do you start to become a Christian in the family of God? First, you must believe that He is. You must believe that you are sinners and that you would be condemned forever to an eternity in hell if you didn't correct your life and wash away your sins in His blood. You must be baptized to wash away those sins. And then the Bible says God will add you to His church. Don't you want to be a part of this family? A part of this blessing and have the privilege of being sons of God? Then come as we stand and as we sing.